Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. Jesus says to his disciples, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. Peter says to the Israelites, repent therefore and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The implication from both of these is that there is no forgiveness without repentance, no obtaining the pearl of great price without single-minded pursuit. In the weeks before Easter, there was an inquiry into historic abuse, and it turned its attention onto the C of E, the Church of England, especially the Diocese of Chichester. An inquiry revealed what I think of as a theological deficit. The Church of England, and probably many mainstream churches, proclaim forgiveness, but they forget that there is a cost to that forgiveness. It's not a matter of theological tradition. There are those evangelicals who will say that Jesus has died for your sins and therefore you are saved. Past tense, already all okay, you are saved through Jesus. Or there are Catholics that go to sacramental confession and hear in a symbolic way those words of forgiveness, that they indeed are forgiven. It doesn't matter which tradition you are rooted within. The cost of forgiveness, the cost of grace, can be forgotten. Cost of grace? We often think of grace as a spontaneous gift from God. So how can grace cost? Let me explore that. There are two problems, I think, with not recognizing the cost of grace, the cost of forgiveness. The first is that we are not just accountable to God through faith. It's not just getting our faith sorted out so that we can feel free of our sins. We are accountable to the wider creation through our lives. There is a personal cost to that accountability. And the second problem with grace having no cost is what Bonhoeffer, the German theologian in the Second World War, called cheap grace. Grace comes at a cost. And the promise of cheap grace actually allowed Christians to become Nazis in Germany because they could believe that whatever they did, they were already forgiven. The cost of what they were actually carrying out was never recognized by them. So first, we are not just accountable to God. We are accountable to God through the wider creation. This inquiry into historic abuse found that abusers often thought they were forgiven or could seek forgiveness and everything would be okay. But the reality is that forgiveness is not just about an individual and her or his relationship with God. Within this equation of grace, within this equation of forgiveness, there is a child or a vulnerable adult or a grieving parishioner. Alan Wilson, the Bishop of Buckingham, put it this way, I am accountable to God through you. Through you. The personal relationship with God is not an individualistic approach to life. We are accountable to God in every aspect of our lives, in all our relationships, be they intimate or economic, how we respond to those we love, and the provenance of our coffee or our beer, or the environmental cost of our mode of transport, are all part of our relationship with God. And we are called to repentance, metanoia, using the Greek, a change of mind, a change of thought process. Metanoia literally means putting the previous way of thinking behind us. And only in this way do we receive forgiveness. Relationships involve metanoia, or a change of the thought process about being in a place of forgiveness. We actually also have to forgive to receive forgiveness. Forgive the parent, the bully, the spouse who has hurt us. And that's where it becomes hard. But it is a way of stopping, if you like, a vengeful circle. Jesus says repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed. So how do we forgive? I'd like to draw on another German here, Nietzsche. Nietzsche said that most animals are unhistorical. The cow grazing on the cud is living in the present. He is just happy to be grazing, not dwelling on the past, not reflecting upon hurts received or dealt out, just happily grazing in the field, in the present. Unhistorical. Humans, on the other hand, are historical beings. We ruminate not upon the cud, but upon our past experiences, unforgiven hurts that we have either received or that we have dealt out. But unlike animals, humans have what Nietzsche called plastic power. It's a sort of subtle energy. Plastic power is, to quote, the ability to heal wounds, replace what has been lost, recreate broken molds. We can forgive even ourselves. We can forgive ourselves, but it takes energy and it takes commitment. If we are to recast those broken molds, it can be a lifetime's work. But only if we do so can we finally rest in peace. So we are accountable to God through others. We need to use our own power, our own energy, to ensure that the past does not dictate the present. And then there's the idea of cheap grace. Bonhoeffer said that cheap grace is the grace we bestow upon ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. For Bonhoeffer, the cost of cheap grace was, in an extreme case, the Nazi state. Atrocities will be forgiven according to Christian mainstream inherited theology, and that's a theological flaw. For us, luckily not living in that era, the cost of cheap grace, the cost of forgiveness with no repentance, with no discipleship, is, if you like, the loss of integrity. Our life would not proclaim our faith if we don't seek repentance. An extreme case of this is our life becomes abusive. There is no grace without discipleship, without grasping and shouldering the yoke that Jesus gives us. Without discipleship, there is no forgiveness. But still, costly grace is grace, because Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is the element of grace. But we do need to take up and bear that yoke to receive the grace which cost Jesus his life. Peter says to those Israelites, "Repent therefore and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." How do we have that change of, that renewal of our mind? How do we reorientate our thought process? How do those sins that we have committed or been done to us get wiped out? Well, we have to proclaim and we have to live forgiveness. Not as individuals, but as people, as a community accountable to God through one another and through the wonder of creation.